The new centers of rabbinic activity embarked on an enhanced interpretation of all earlier religious traditions. As I noted in an earlier lecture, by the 3rd century there was a new compilation of the legal and homiletical works of the rabbis, the Mishnah on the one hand, the legal code, the Midrash on the other hand, the exegetical and homiletical interpretation of the Bible. These were the fruits of this new rabbinic phenomena. And these, the Mishnah and the Midrash, would in turn be examined for hundreds of years and serve as the basis for centuries of further learning, leading, of course, to the development of the Talmud, both that of Palestine and that of Babylonia. The sum total of all of rabbinic teaching for the first 5 or 6 centuries of the Common Era came to be known as the oral tradition. This designation suggests a mass of material that complements the written tradition, which of course was the Bible. The two, the Bible on the one hand, and the oral tradition of the rabbis, were destined to become inseparable, and the basis for almost all subsequent intellectual and legal activity. The statement that I quoted before, Yochanan ben Zakkai stressing acts of loving kindness, may strike a chord, may resonate in Christian circles as well, as does the whole process of spiritualization of ritual. And this is true, because both Christianity, in its earliest Judaic setting, as well as Rabbinic Judaism, survived the destruction precisely because neither group was temple-oriented. But there was a major difference between these two groups, and it was critical. For the early church, the destruction of the temple was vindication or proof of Christianity's earliest message, inasmuch as Jesus himself was quoted as prophesying, no stone would be left unturned in Jerusalem. I mentioned in an earlier lecture that the church preserved the writings of Josephus Flavius. If we read church fathers, it's obvious why. One church father living in the city of Caesarea would quote the New Testament, would quote Jesus as saying, no stone would be left unturned in Jerusalem. And then he says, this church father, now let us see how this came to be in the writings of Josephus. So the destruction indeed was, as I said, vindication or proof about the veracity of the teachings of the early church. For the rabbis, that was not the case. On the one hand, they created an alternative Judaism. On the other hand, the destruction continued to pose a major theological as well as practical problem. And the problem manifested itself in many ways, one of them being, do we want to build another temple? Was this rabbinic Judaism presented as a system that superseded the Bible? In early Christianity, that would certainly be the case, where the Old Testament was, in a sense, superseded. One does not need today to carry out the word of God to keep all of those laws that are in the Old Bible. Rabbis realized that this would be a very, very dangerous approach to take. And so, on the one hand, and they did create an alternative style of religious expression, but on the other hand, they never outwardly negated the earlier one. They never claimed that it ultimately takes the place of the earlier one. And we know that 60 years into the rabbinic period, in the year 132, an attempt was made in Judea, again, to throw the Roman conqueror out of the land and possibly to rebuild a temple. And yet, when I said a few moments ago that I would love to have a time machine and go back and ask Yochanan ben Zakkai some very important questions, the one question I would probably ask him was, Yochanan, please tell me, did you really intend to reform Judaism the way you did? To create an alternative system based on a spiritual, decentralized, mobile type of leadership, prayer instead of sacrifice? And again, I wonder whether I would get an answer out of him. Because the sense in rabbinic literature was, yes, we have created an alternative lifestyle, but hopefully that temple would be rebuilt. There was never an outright negation of the earlier vestiges of Judaism by the rabbis who created an alternative system. And there's a tremendous tension between continuity and innovation in the development of rabbinic Judaism. In fact, the success of rabbinic Judaism was precisely in this balancing between obvious innovation and the stress of continuity with the written Bible.